You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Cadet. Renters here in our state are facing a challenging financial future after a devastating year. Renters are more likely to have low wages or hourly jobs than homeowners do. And while businesses shed jobs and they cut hours as the government struggled to get safety net systems in place, these folks faced some tough questions. Questions like, what's more important to spend my limited money on, my rent, my power bill, or groceries? But now there is financial help available to renters in Boise and Ada County who meet certain income requirements. Boise City Councilwoman Lisa Sanchez, Deanna Watson with the Boise City Ada County Housing Authorities, and Maureen Brewer with the Housing and Community Development Division at the City of Boise are joining us live today to tell us more. Thanks so much for being here, all of you.
Thank you.
And in case someone is listening for a moment but isn't able to stick with us through the show, we will make sure that we link to the program because renters can apply directly to cover the cost of unpaid rent and utilities, or landlords can actually apply on their behalf. So if you can't listen for the whole show, or maybe you know someone, we will link that on the website. And of course, we're always in a podcast form as well. So Councilman Sanchez, I want to start with you. Renters have been one constituency that you've actually focused on during your time in office. I mean, even before the pandemic. So I'm curious about what you've heard from them in the last year.
Gemma, it's really been an honor to be able to speak for a community that I'm a part of. I've been a renter since 2010 when I lost my home to foreclosure in the last recession. And what we have heard since I've been in council has been what we've heard across the country, and that's the rising cost of rent to begin with. But what became more of a pressing issue that really resonated with us at the city was the rental application fees that folks were being charged. So they weren't even getting the opportunity to be in a rental and have their rent increase. They were losing hundreds of dollars just in the rental application process. So we passed the rental application fee ordinance in 2019, and it has worked really well. And so now we continue to work on behalf of renters.
And then Maureen, according to one national study, Boise rent increased more than any other location in the entire country during the pandemic. So at the same time, so many of our renters are the ones who are out of work, or they're the folks who are underemployed. So how is your division approaching this particular problem?
You know, Gemma, it's certainly a problem and a trend that we've been monitoring for some time. As you referenced, you know, rents were rising, home prices were going up even before the pandemic. We were struggling with tenant selection criteria being tough, vacancy rates being remarkably low. You know, one arm of our division here at the City of Boise is to be the lead agency for our public-private partnership, called Our Path Home, that is our homeless services system. And we serve households within that system that have significant barriers to housing. So prior evictions, you know, maybe a recent criminal history, they owe significant amounts of back rent or back utilities. I share all that just to note that we were in a precarious spot, if you will, before COVID, and COVID has exacerbated that. So we've been trying to seize upon the opportunities afforded to us through CARES funding, through this emergency rental assistance program from the Treasury, but then also advance some of those longer term strategies around the city's efforts to grow our investment in affordable housing and ensure that we're doing just that, you know, have an eye sort of towards the long-term solution and investment to ensure that we're taking care of our most vulnerable residents and our renters too.
So you did mention, Maureen, the Emergency Rental Assistance Program, and we will talk in depth about that in a minute. But I am curious about how the federal moratorium on evictions actually worked on the ground in Boise, Maureen. I mean, is it helping much?
It's helping to a certain degree. There are some limitations of that moratorium, and I think some unintended consequences of that moratorium as well. So certainly I think evictions have slowed, but those are still taking place. And they're taking place for reasons beyond back rent owed, as an example. The long and short of it is that it's one tool in our toolbox that we have right now, you know, as a resource, but it certainly isn't the solution, and it needs to be used or packaged, if you will, with some of these other tools, some of these other approaches, some of these other fund sources.
Deanna, you've been with the Boise City Ada County Housing Authority for 24 years. I'm curious about how you would describe the need that you've seen from folks this year in particular, this last year, as compared to the more than two decades that you've actually done this work.
Thanks, Gemma. I think I would want to tag on to what Councillor Sanchez said and what Mo just said. This last year has just been kind of a perfect storm. We used to be able to think once we got a voucher to somebody in our Section 8 program or Housing Choice Voucher program, they were safe. And we get funding from HUD to provide rental assistance for around 2,500 families in the Boise and Ada County area. But with the rising rents this last couple of years, what we've discovered is that after the first initial lease term, once somebody's got their voucher, the landlord at the end of that year can raise the rent above what the ceiling amount is that we as the housing authority can pay on behalf of the household. So the household's responsible for 30 to 40% of their income toward rent and utilities. We make up the difference up to a ceiling amount until that first year is over, and then the cap lifts off what the landlord can charge. And the reason that Housing Choice Voucher Program has choice in it is that's intended to be for tenants who say, I'm not willing to pay another $200 on top of my $800 I'm already paying you and the $500 the housing authority's paying you, so they could move. But with no place to move and with rents everywhere being higher and higher, we have people on our programs who become stranded where they are, paying sometimes 50, 60, 70% of their income toward rent and utilities, and they have a voucher. So we've seen that happening over the last couple of years. And then, you know, the storm pandemic comes in and it has just been devastating for people across the board, people on assistance programs and people who could really use assistance. Our funding is enough to cover about 20% of the need in Ada County. So we already were not meeting 80%. And then, you know, the pandemic happens and the heartbreak stories are really, really hard to hear and to feel helpless to do anything about. And so it's one of the reasons we are absolutely thrilled and humbled to be a part of administering the Emergency Rental Assistance Program, because finally we can say to people, we can help you. Yeah. And not just for this month, but we can look forward and we can help you get stable and back on your feet.
So, Deanna, do you have any sense then of how these families and even these individuals have even been able to keep up with their bills over the last year?
You know, what the stories we're hearing from applicants are that they have, you know, they've used every resource they could get their hands on. They've borrowed money. They've taken on extra work when they could find it. When I talked to this last week, has a child with special needs and a kindergartner, and she's had to try to figure out how to provide them with their schooling and work at a call center. Hearing from people who are in dire straits, who went out of a contract for their phone service and not being able to let them out, and how hard it was on her. And just the devastation she's seen within her own family unit. So I think a lot of families that were together 2 years ago are not together now just because of the external stress that's been kind of enforced upon them. family connections, you know, they've relied on to the extent that they can. I think there are a lot of, you know, and this eviction moratorium is good and it's bad in that once the moratorium lifts, whatever amount of rent that has been accruing that they owe, they will owe right then. And so, you know, it's hard on tenants when that happens, but it's also been really difficult for landlords who rely on the rental income as their income to pay their mortgages. Mm-hmm. And so this emergency rental assistance, I think, is a much better antidote to what's ailing us than just putting in a moratorium on evictions. I think that was good for the stopgap, but we've got to have a longer term plan.
So Councilwoman Sanchez, the City Council unanimously approved the Emergency Rental Assistance Program. I'm curious about what this funding symbolizes for you and why you voted to approve it.
Gemma, it takes me back to 2019 when a friend of mine, a neighbor, a constituent, Mary Kemp, reached out asking for assistance. And she said to me and two other colleagues, is there something that the city of Boise can do to signal to us renters that they care about us? And that was the impetus for us bringing forward that rental application fee ordinance. And that's what I see this money doing. It's signaling to the renters in our community that we very much care about them. And this is, as they say, talk is cheap. Put your money where your mouth is. And the reality is that's what people need right now. They need resources to meet their basic needs. And certainly shelter is one of those basic needs. I believe it is part of a healthy community that folks be able to know that they're going to be able to go home. And as we know, because mm-hmm. of the pandemic, people have been home. What my fear has been is if people fall in the category where they have to be evicted, we have a kind community. What I can see happening is people opening up their homes to friends and family to give them shelter, and then us getting into a situation where we have more spread of the coronavirus. And so it's more than just being able to keep people in the housing that they currently have. It's about really reducing that community spread of the coronavirus.
So the city received $11.5 million from the federal government. And Maureen, let's be clear on this. This program is a grant program, meaning folks do not have to pay it back if they apply and get coverage for their rent or utilities, correct?
Gemma, that is correct. There is no expectation that renters would pay this money back. And as Deanna referenced, you know, this helps both renters and landlords who may have been, you know, relying on rent for their own income, if you will. What this also does is unlock this ability, and it's been referenced here in this segment, but it unlocks this ability for us to help a greater share of renters and help them more significantly to hopefully remove that housing insecurity that they're currently feeling and actually stabilize them in housing. The homeless services system, that partnership that serves people that are actually already sleeping in shelter or already sleeping on the street, we are in this very tricky position where we have to prioritize resources because we don't have enough of them. So we prioritize those resources for the most vulnerable. With this emergency rental assistance funding available and available in the form in which it is, we have now, at least from a homeless prevention lens, we have mm-hmm. some of that pressure lifted so that the homeless services system can focus its resources on those that are already experiencing homelessness, and we can pivot this resource to making sure that nobody else falls into homelessness.
We're going to talk more about the program on the other side of the break, but I do realize that some folks listening right now might not be able to stick around. So, Deanna, can you tell folks the website to visit to apply for this assistance?
Absolutely. It's going to stand for our name, which is Boise City Ada County Housing Authority. So if you just enter bcacha.org, the first item that will pop up on the screen is the Emergency Rental Assistance Program application, and also this the point for the landlords to enter their information.
Okay. We will make sure we also put that website on our website. We're going to take a quick break right now, but we will be back with more on the topic of renting here in Idaho, focusing on a new emergency assistance fund available to low-income renters in Boise and Ada County. More Idaho Matters next. More Idaho Matters right now. However, before we get back into our conversation about a new emergency assistance fund available to some renters in Boise and Ada counties, we really need your help. On Monday, we're going to be talking with Idaho Department of Health and Welfare Director Dave Jepson. We're talking with him about the state's response to the COVID-19 crisis, almost a year after the first case of the disease was announced here in our state. So, do you have a question or a comment for Director Jepson? You can download the Boise State Public Radio app and use the Talk to Us feature. And if you use that feature, you can send us a radio quality audio message that we may play on the air. Or you can always email us, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Now, remember, this is for Monday's program with Department of Health and Welfare Director Dave Jepson. So, get those questions into us if you have one. Getting back to this new emergency assistance fund, our guest today, Boise City Councilwoman Lisa Sanchez, Deanna Watson with the Boise City and Ada County Housing Authorities, and Maureen Brewer with the Housing and Community Development Division at the City of Boise. So, Deanna, your organization is distributing the $11.5 million that we mentioned that Boise received. Plus, there's $12 million that Ada County received. So combined, this is about $24 million for both Boise and Ada County renters. Now, the program has been open for less than 2 weeks. How is it going so far?
That's a great question. I think we're feeling like we're getting our processes established and feeling pretty good about the process flow. We hired some temporary folks to come in and help us with the initial screening for eligibility, and then we're utilizing our own staff's expertise in how to get people onto the program, get the information we need from landlords, like W-9 information, so we can get checks out to them. We issued a small amount of funding at the end of last week, and then we sent out checks last night, and I'm looking for some stats to come in to me while I'm talking to you, but I know that we've helped out more people in Boise than Ada County so far, but we're still working on getting the word out to all the communities within the county as well. So I'll hopefully have some stats for you before we're done.
Great. And then I do want to make a quick note that the state legislature just this morning voted to send $175 million in federal funding to renters throughout our state. So that bill now has to head to the governor's desk. And of course, you can follow this developing story right here on Boise State Public Radio. With that said, Deanna, how many people do you know, do you have a number yet, have applied? And how many renters are getting their rent or maybe their utilities paid for, you know, through this fund?
So I know that as of the beginning of this week, we had around 600 applications that had come in. Oh. And I believe we've been processing up in the probably 130 to 140 range as far as the applications that have come in. We're anticipating, you know, how the utility companies will forego disconnecting utilities in the winter months. And then as spring comes, they'll start to try to collect on what's not been paid and shut off the utilities if those payments aren't made. So our anticipation is that as we get into March, we will see more expenditures going out to help people avoid utility shutoffs. and with probably larger bills than we will then once we're sort of in a maintaining mode for those who are needing utility assistance.
Deanna, I'm curious about some of the stories. I know you talked to one about the mom with the special needs kiddo and then a kindergartner as well. But what other stories have you heard from folks who are struggling right now? And frankly, maybe for the first time in their entire lives, what factors, outside of layoffs, are driving folks just closer and closer to that financial cliff and eviction?
I think it's a whole combination of things. Every time I see on the news stories about how mental health issues have gotten more difficult for people to deal with, and people that never have had depression or anxiety before as something to be a stopper are now really struggling and having mental breakdowns and emotional breakdowns at work and having to take time off work because there's not a moment in their day that isn't filled with stress. And mm-hmm. So I know that for some of the folks we've heard from, they've never ever had to ask for help before. And they're apologetic about trying to access whether or not, the services we have are services that they can get to. And so really just trying to assure people that that's why this program's here. It's to help people who have run into situations they've never run into before and need help to get back on their feet again. Mm-hmm. And landlords who, the tenants will be afraid for us to call their landlord because they've already gotten a 3-day pay or quit notice or an eviction notice. And if we can call and say, we would like to make up the rent that's owed and get them on their feet and pay for maybe the next couple months and then check back and see if they need more help. Are you willing for us to do that? Most of the landlords I've spoken to have said, absolutely, mm-hmm. they need help, but I need help too. And so we're really looking at this as not just a tenant assistance, but really an aid back into our local economy as well.
And Councilwoman Sanchez, as Deanna just mentioned, landlords are a part of this conversation as well. I know we focus primarily on renters during our conversation right now, but what have you heard from landlords? Are they open to this? As Deanna mentioned, at least the ones that she's spoken to seem to be.
I have to be honest, Gemma. I don't hear from landlords as much as the few landlords that I've heard from. It's been issues with the rental application fee, in that they wanted just to be slight, to have we have a $30 cap on it, and they want it bumped up a little bit. And so the people I'm hearing from, they're actually really good people, and so they just wanted it to be bumped up a little bit. And it was something that we really agonized over in finding that good number. So the landlords that have reached out to me, again, very good people, but nobody has reached out with any specific comments about these funding sources that are coming online.
Mm-hmm. Councilwoman Sanchez, can we talk a little bit more about this rental application cap? Because on the state level, the legislature is considering a bill that would actually override this policy that you championed. And the policy, as you mentioned, it caps the amount that landlords can charge renters. For just applying, right? And as you mentioned earlier in this conversation, that can end up being hundreds of dollars if you're applying to more than one, one residence. So besides negating that measure, the bill would also prevent rent control, which is not currently in place in Boise, and it would prevent any other regulations against fees that could be placed on renters. And I'm curious to know what your take is on this state proposal.
Well, I had the opportunity to testify in a landlord-tenant subcommittee that was formed on Tuesday. And one happy, unexpected benefit that comes from having legislators from all over Idaho come to Boise is they have to rent. And I'm very grateful to Representative Amador, who made a recommendation that this bill be tabled. And he referenced his own difficulty in trying to find a rental while he's here in the Boise area during the legislative session. And so we had that gift of having representatives have their own bad experiences in trying to find rentals. And he detailed an experience where he inquired about a rental and was sent a message that said, fill out this application and we are going to need a $50 fee, I think is what he said. And he's like, no, I want to see the place first, and never heard back again. And that situation that Representative Amador described is exactly what our renters have been experiencing, what our folks who are looking for rentals have been experiencing. And so we're very happy to see that that recommendation from that subcommittee was passed 4-2.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think when people in power, Councilman Sanchez, experience firsthand what we know constituents have been experiencing, and sometimes that can, you know, bring about a really interesting conversation.
Absolutely, Gemma. And, you know, I'm going to go back a little bit. I mean, my campaign speeches in 2017 were all about the things that we don't like to talk about in polite society. I talked about dumpster diving. I talked about selling my blood at the biomat on Overland to try to hold on to my home in 2010. And all the while being an employee of the state of Idaho. At the time, we were on being furloughed at the Human Rights Commission, where I was a civil rights investigator. But at the same time, I also experienced a high level of grace from the members of this community. And that is what I talked about. I talked about the resilience that we have here in this community. And the reality is, I would still be a homeowner, Gemma, if I could have gotten a $5,000 grant to hold on to my house. And so I believe the way that this money that we have coming into our community is structured, where it's a grant, that not only does a lot to make sure that people can get out of the situation and thrive again, it's a psychological relief as well. Because I actually did have a friend offer to loan me $5,000 10 years ago to hold on to my home, but I couldn't bring myself to accept that help. Had that friend said, can I give you $5,000 and pay it forward someday? I would have gladly taken that money. But we have this sentiment of shame that we never acknowledge. You know, we pat people on the back for being heroes, for being the ones who rescue others. But what do we say about people who are in need? We need to change that narrative. We need to make it okay for people to ask for help.
Yeah. And I'm curious, Maureen, are people able to apply and receive funding more than once through this emergency rental assistance program?
Yeah, Gemma, that's a great question. And there are some specific kind of eligibility requirements and program processes that are outlined within the application and on the website that Deanna referenced. Again, that's bcacha.org. The program is able to provide past due rent, past due utilities, and then if the need is there, we can also do future rent and future utilities in 3-month increments, but just have to recertify that eligibility every 90 days. So what I would like to encourage of our renters and our landlords too, because this is as much of a landlord partnership opportunity as it is for, you know, for our renters and our tenants. But what I would like to kind of impress upon our residents that might need that grace that Councilwoman Sanchez referenced is to reach out. Even if you're unsure, please reach out, because we have certainly a big kind of quick cash investment, if you will, through this nearly $24 million for Boise City and Ada County. But we also have some other fund sources that if, you know, you don't check all of the eligibility boxes, if you will, that we can triage and problem solve your situation with you.
I want to thank all three of you for taking the time today to talk more in depth about this and for letting people know about this emergency assistance fund. But Maureen, as you said, that there are other funds. And yes, call. There was no shame in needing assistance because, man, this pandemic, it has been brutal. So no shame in needing that help. Our thanks to Deanna Watson with the Boise City Ada County Housing Authorities, Boise City Councilwoman Lisa Sanchez, and Maureen Brewer with the Housing and Community Development Division at the City of Boise. We will, of course, link to the emergency rental assistance application on our website at boisestatepublicradio.org. If you know someone, if you are that person, reach out, get that assistance. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, Gemma.
Absolutely. More Idaho Matters next.